Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, July 27th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, House Democrats are divided on police funding and gun control legislation. Number two, a check-in on the three Johns in the Senate. And number three, the White House's low marks in a recent briefing. All right, Jake, let's get to it. We have the top of Punchbowl News AM focused on where House Democrats are when it comes to this police funding legislation as well as gun control legislation. A lot of division here among House Democrats about what to move forward with, what not to, whether or not the progressives are going to support something, whether or not the Congressional Black Caucus is going to support something. It's kind of a mess for Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
A mess of their own creation, because this is not a something that needs to get through. So here's the deal. We've talked about this. We broke this story a couple weeks ago that moderate Democrats, Josh Gottheimer and some other folks, want to have long wanted to vote on a police funding bill. Now, why? Quite frankly, because they think the Democrats are getting hit too hard on wanting to defund the police, and they want to beat back on that. These are people like, again, Josh Gottheimer, Abigail Spanberger, some of these moderate Democrats who are in tough races, who are not progressives. They are folks that have to go back to districts where Barack Obama, Lord, I'm in the wrong generation, where Joe Biden is incredibly unpopular and is the economy struggling, and they want something to talk about. This comes as House Democrats are also trying to move an assault weapons ban. So basically what's going on is that there's a lot of cross currents here. There's the CBC, who wants language in the bill to set up protections for this funding, this police funding. They want accountability language, they call it. They've been working with Senator Cory Booker on that. So that's the CBC. Then the CPC, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, have balked at a bill by Gottheimer and Spanberger, that bill to add additional police funding. So you have the CBC wanting accountability language. The CPC does not want this police funding, or is skittish on the police funding. And then you have the moderates who are threatening to bring down the assault weapons ban if they don't get what they want. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to get out of this mess. And by the way, all for legislation that, let's be charitable here, the Senate is unlikely to pass, but also probably just won't pass. I mean, maybe they do something on the police funding bill, but I got a call yesterday from a Senate Republican source who said, we would never help Democrats pass a police funding bill. That's one of our top political issues against Democrats, that they are not for police funding, and why would we give them a victory here?
Okay, but wait. But let's just...
Waiting. The House... Tell me what... I'm waiting.
The House... come on. I mean, the House is not... If they were going to wait to only pass bills that the Senate is going to pass, I mean, you know, that... I mean, we've all heard that joke a million times over by every Democrat or House Republican, you know, when they're in power, saying you can't wait for the Senate. The Senate is an institution that they need to kind of pass bills on their own. So first of all, I don't necessarily, that doesn't hold a lot of water, that they should only do legislation that's going to become law. And frankly, if you look at what happened, you know, last week with the same-sex marriage bill, all of a sudden something that I think a lot of people would have discounted as even possible when the House passed it. This is very different, but I'm just saying, you know, they took on an issue, 47 Republicans all of a sudden passed it. Now you're looking at that potentially seeing some action in the Senate. Second point, I do think to everything that you point out, which is really smart, which is just showcases how tenuous this majority is for Pelosi, with four seats, going to be three seats shortly, that there's no room for error. And she doesn't have a lot of necessarily ability to kind of push people in one direction or another.
Yeah, that's right. Not only is it a tenuous majority, it is a it's an incredibly tenuous majority, and And I take your point on the same-sex marriage bill. I would argue it's a slightly different issue, obviously. But I hear you on that, and I think that is a it's just different, I think. But listen, at the end of the day, maybe there is a possibility they pass it. But think of it this way: the number one, the Senate is focused on reconciliation, the PACT Act, which is that burn pit legislation that has been caught between on a technical issue between the House and Senate, and CHIPS this month. So what's going to happen is the Senate's going to go into August recess having not touched this police bill. Could it come back in September with same-sex marriage and government funding? And this police bill will be a memory. By the way, there's nothing wrong with passing a bill that has no chance of passing the Senate. There's nothing specifically wrong with
that. Which was my point. My point is that they do it all the time. I mean, that is literally what the House does.
It's a messaging bill, and that's fine. It's a little bit more than a messaging bill, but it that's fine, especially because I was talking to a moderate yesterday who said, like, when are we, you know, with the president at 30%, when are we going to tell these progressives to buzz off? And I hear that argument. I get it. It all comes back to this. It is a tenuous majority, a split majority, those are the dynamics.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning, the summer of John Cornyn. That is, we have a look in this morning's newsletter inside the Senate GOP and this burgeoning competition that we have been reporting on for months, and the competition between the quote-unquote three Johns, that is, of course, Senators John Cornyn of Texas, John Thune of South Dakota, and John Barrasso of Wyoming, in this kind of slow motion yet very real race to become the next Senate Republican leader whenever Mitch McConnell calls it quits, which won't be anytime soon. But today we look at Cornyn, the Texas Republican, and man, if you just kind of put it out, you know, kind of lay out what he has done over the last couple of months, it's been a pretty good couple of months for John Cornyn.
Yeah, first he had this the Lend-Lease bill. That was a big victory for him. This allowed the United States to lease essentially weapons and other defensive capabilities to Ukraine in their war against Russia. Number two, the gun bill. You know, that's a big victory for Cornyn. Depending on how you look at it, I guess there's some Republicans who think it's a big defeat for Cornyn, but not many. And number three, now the CHIPS bill, which he was the original kind of author of. We've been charting the battle between Cornyn, Barrasso, and John Thune, John, the three Johns, over the last, you know, year or so. This is a very real kind of intra-party squabble. And we just...
It's not really a squabble, though. I mean, it's just they're
not really a squabble. It's just a competition, So we just thought it was time to take stock of what Cornyn's been up to. And I mean, the ultimate question that we always ask ourselves is, what does this deal cutting lead to? Does it lead him to the Republican leader slot? And he had an interesting point. He's like, it depends what people want. You know, if they want somebody who's going to get something done, then he's the guy. And if not, then maybe he's not. And he said something interesting. He said he's going to end his career in the Senate and he wants to make the most of that. And that's kind of his mantra right now.
Going to be very interesting to watch. And I do think that point of, you know, does the Republican conference in the Senate want somebody who's going to cut deals and make things happen? Cornyn is clearly kind of staking a claim that that's what he thinks the leader's role is. Or not. Is there going to be a litmus test? Is it going to be more of a purity test of your, you know, you need to be super, super conservative and push back against everything and be more of an obstructionist? Clearly not the kind of leader that he's trying to portray himself as, at least to this moment. Let's move on to the number three story of the morning, Jake. Super interesting item in this morning's newsletter about the White House coming to the House Democratic Caucus. Their message, don't worry, be happy, landed a little flat.
Yeah, how about the two headlines in this morning? The summer of John Cornyn and don't worry, be happy. I'm proud to have a part in both of those headlines. Yeah, so the House Democratic Chiefs of Staff got a message, had a meeting with Louisa Terrell, the Director of Legislative Affairs from the White House, and she kind of just said to them, talk about gas prices, they're good. Talk about the infrastructure bill, the American Rescue Plan. And Democrats kind of left this meeting being like, huh? I am sympathetic to the cause. The Democrats. I'm maybe not sympathetic is the right word, but I understand they don't have a ton of good stuff to talk about, and they have to kind of talk about the stuff that they're talking about. But this message kind of fell flat in the House Democratic Caucus in the chief of staff realm. When this happened on Monday, and it's an interesting behind the scenes look at how Senate. And how the White House, rather, is trying to get Democrats going into the August recess, talking about some of their accomplishments, of course, which, to be fair, American Rescue Plan passed beginning of the Congress. There was a reconciliation bill in 2021. Infrastructure passed about 250 days ago. It was signed 253 days ago. I looked it up, but someone took that out of the newsletter, Brez. Listen, she has her defenders. This is not a commentary on whether the White House Legislative Affairs staff is good. I think they are actually. They've been pretty well liked and pretty well regarded for a very long time on the Hill. Especially in the House, where they have a very strong operation. In the Senate, they have a strong operation as well. But since we're talking about the House, I'll talk about the House. But this kind of went like a lead balloon, as one source told us.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and if they take up her advice to just kind of push forward with the positive messaging going into this August recess. Certainly a lot of nervousness that we hear about from House Democrats about just where the Democrats are, the White House's approval and all of that kind of stuff. Let's just want to flag one thing. Join us this morning. Join me for a virtual conversation on building trust in technology. We're going to be talking about privacy in the wake of the Dobbs decision. We're going to be talking about kids' security online, a lot of other things with Eric Swalwell, the Democrat from California, member of Intel and House Judiciary Committee. Going to be a very interesting conversation. That's at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. It is a virtual conversation, so you can join us. I hope you will. It's going to be, I'm really looking forward to it. And with that, thanks so much for listening. Leave us a rating and review. It's the best place and way for folks to find out about The Daily Punch. You can also subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.